Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we're going to Ukraine, where it's being made in spades right now. Very good development. Joe Biden has now nominated a new ambassador to Ukraine from the United States. It's a woman named Bridget Brink. She's excellent. She has a lot of years' experience in the Foreign Service. She is presently the ambassador to Slovakia. Before that, she was stationed in Belgrade during the Balkan War, believe it or not, in the 90s. She was stationed in Georgia, not Atlanta, Georgia. I'm talking about Eastern European Georgia, just before the Russian invasion. She gets put in dangerous spots. The present country she's the ambassador to is Slovakia. It has a 60-mile border with Ukraine. The last Senate-approved ambassador to Ukraine was Marie Yovanovitch. Remember her? She was terrific. Trump fired her because she blew the whistle. She was starting to get calls about Giuliani sneaking around her, trying to engineer them over there to dig up dirt on Biden, false dirt, or they weren't going to get weapons. And Giuliani and Trump were colluding with the Ruskies. And she was top notch. I looked at a lot of her testimony during the impeachment trial a couple of years ago. She was honest and she was bewildered by this. So wait a minute, you know, the president is sneaking around me with Giuliani, and he fired her. He flat out fired her. Flat out fired her, had Pompeo fire her. That's changed now. The other good development in Ukraine is that on the weekend, on Sunday, Tony Blinken and Lloyd Austin, Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense of the United States, went to Kyiv to meet with Zelensky. That is big time. A number of prime ministers and presidents from Eastern Europe and NATO had gone there to meet with him several times, from Poland and Latvia and Lithuania. But when you have the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense going there, right when the Ruskies are genociding people, that sends a powerful signal. Bridget Brink sends a powerful signal. She's really an amazing woman. She's married to a guy who's also in the Foreign Service, and they have two children. And they just put her in, Bridget Brink, wherever there's danger. And she's been described by a friend of hers who was the ambassador to Poland, the guy, our ambassador to Poland, who said, quote, "Bridget Brink is not reckless, but fearless. She's not reckless, but she's fearless." And I'll tell you what, if you were plugged into Belgrade right during the Bosnian War, and in Georgia just before the Russian invasion, in Slovakia now, and going to Ukraine, this is a really tough ambassador, a good ambassador. And you know, these ambassadorships, the way they get handed out, they're real plums, but not in places like Ukraine. Some guy gives a lot of money to a presidential candidate, the candidate wins. They want to go to London, Paris, you know, they want to go to Berlin, they want to go to Rome, they want to go to Madrid. They want a stable Western country. I mean, you take Tom Barrett, he went to Luxembourg, which we've had people go to Prague. I mean, these are plum assignments. It's not a plum assignment right now to go to Ukraine. You have to have a lot of guts. You have to be not reckless, but fearless. And so what's wonderful about this is Biden is intensifying diplomatic pressure on the Ruskies. Sending an ambassador there, I mean, if this woman goes to Kyiv, Kyiv is under rocket attack. I mean, they got to make sure that she's safe. There may be times where she has to operate out of Poland or Romania, which is right nearby. But it's a very, very fine signal. And the Republicans had better not knife her. They've done a lot of things to hurt the United States because they think they're hurting Biden. If they do this, enough's enough. Then if I were Biden, I would just send her anyway. Say she's acting. She's my personal representative. And F you. That's what I'd say. But there you have it. We're going to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's on your mind today?
That's interesting. You brought up Georgia. The nation rather than the state, because I seem to remember Karl Rove over in Georgia prior to the Russian invasion kind of encouraging the Georgians to provoke Russia so Russia could have the excuse of, you know, taking them over. That, and maybe I'm misremembering that. Maybe I'm assigning an evil intent to a evil little man that because, you know, Karl Rove is just another part of the axis of evil as far as, you know, evil in Republican politics. But I mean that it's just the Russians, you know, will look for any excuse to do what they want. I mean, they're blaming Ukraine for this, their invasion Ukraine. They say, well, Ukraine provoked us. Well, you know, Russia goes and takes over portions of the country. So, well, the majority of English, Russian speakers here. Well, what if merry old England decided, well, there's a majority of English speakers in New England or in various places that in the original colony say, we're just going to take this over because they're speaking the mother tongue of English, and that's evidence of, you know, that they want to be English. And I, of course, that's not true, but there's plenty of Russian speakers in a lot of countries, and they don't necessarily want to go back to, you know, to Russia as part of their political allegiance. And maybe I've got that wrong. I could be wrong, but I think
you don't have that wrong. Let me just jump in to support what you're saying. As a matter of fact, there are Russian speakers, for instance, in Estonia, which has a border with Russia. They don't want to be part of Russia. You know, they like freedom. They like freedom of speech. They like freedom of religion. They want to be forced into Russia's church. And they also like the freedom in a capitalist democracy to do well financially. And you're absolutely right. In the Donbass region, there are some Russian speakers. But these Russian speakers have almost uniformly allied themselves. They're Ukrainians first. They don't want Russia. Nobody wants Russia because take a look at what Russia means. You come in. Putin and the oligarchs will steal 80% of the national wealth or the balance of trade surplus. Then if they will tap your phone. If you say something that insults them, they'll put you in prison. This is absolutely the same as what happened in Germany from 1932 through the Second World War. Hitler got in, said, I'm a man of peace. I just want peace, but you need a strong man. Just let me run the country for 4 years, dissolve the Reichstag, which is the Congress. They said, fine. The minute he got in, he arrested people who were opposed to him and killed them. And this business of saying, for instance, Putin saying Ukraine started it, Hitler goes into Poland. And he said, the Poles attacked us. And everybody goes, oh, well, if they attacked us, I guess we've got to go after them. Poland didn't attack Germany. What Hitler did was he set up a false flag operation. And he claimed that some people in a border unit had lobbed some shells into Germany. He lobbed his own shells into Germany. And at least he was smart enough not to kill Germans in doing it, whereas Putin blew up apartment buildings in Moscow to get power and said it was the Chechens. And his false flag operations sometimes result in Russian deaths. So he can then go in and claim that the other side started it. There is an exact one-to-one correspondence between Hitler and Putin with one exception. And that is, time has gone by, and Russia is no way as militarily powerful as Germany was in the 1930s. And we've been through this before. We've seen this movie before, and we didn't like this movie before, and we're not going to put up with it again. And Biden has done a masterful job unifying Europe. Even the Finns and the Swedes, even the people who are so supposedly neutral, people are taking refugees from Ukraine. People are sanctioning Russia. People are sending arms and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. He has united. You know, what kills me about this, I got to say this, what kills me about this is Russia under Yeltsin, as bad as he was, had sort of come around on their reputation. And if he had done none of this in Ukraine, and they were prosperous, Russia was getting prosperous, they could have had Nord Stream 2, made more money. And if the oligarchs stole a little less or not at all, Russia would have been seen in a generation or two as a very strong and respectable European country. And everybody in Russia would have done better. Everybody in Russia would have made more money. Everybody in Russia would have been respected in the West. Now, people in Russia are seen as international skunks. I mean, you know, there are composers, there are conductors, there are singers, there are speed skaters, there are hockey players, there are, you know, all sorts of Russian cultural and intellectual artists, and they're seen with dread and disgust. That's what this guy has done. We got to go to a break. The lines are live. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good morning, Matt. As always, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, it's kind of what you were talking about last hour, but there's a very important election coming up this fall. I don't know who's going to run against Senator Johnson. That'll be determined, of course, in August. I like Alex, but Sarah's cool, too. Heck, fire anybody but Johnson. I think a message needs to be sent to the GOP in Wisconsin. We want democracy. You know, the bottom line, Johnson has to be beaten, period. And Tony has to be reelected governor for the sake of Wisconsin. Well, there's one other election. I do believe it's next spring. I'm getting way ahead of myself there. The Wisconsin Supreme Court needs to change. In my mind, our Wisconsin democracy is at stake in all these elections. People need to turn out. And you really don't have to look any further in this state than Boston Gableman. And listen to some of the ads, these people that are running for governor on the GOP. It's just, there's no new ideas here is what I'm trying to say. And if for no other reason, Foxconn. All these people were for Foxconn, for goodness sakes, in this state. But I just can't say enough about the upcoming elections, how important they are, especially in this gerrymandered state of Wisconsin. Thanks for listening to me, Matt. And thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Paul. As always, that's an excellent comment. And I'm going to build on that a little bit. And I'm going to just tell you this. There is one issue in this election, governor and senator, one election, one issue in these elections. And that is, do we preserve our democracy or not? Most trial lawyers will tell you that any trial, ultimately, before it goes to the jury, as it's going to the jury, ends up boiling down to one theme, one question. And does the jury like that theme or not? Do they believe that this witness was telling the truth or not? It's not that complex. It comes down to a message. The same is true of an election. An election is a jury trial to a million people instead of 12 people. That's really what it is. A million people instead of 12 people. And does the jury believe what you're saying? Do they agree what you're saying? And I mean the whole totality of what you're saying. They're not going to sit there like political science professors and sort of micromanage every issue. They're going to look, say, does that sound right? This guy in the up and up, is that what I want? The issue and message in this election is, let's preserve our democracy. Let us preserve our right to vote. Let us preserve, for instance, when a presidential election comes up, the presidential primary election determines who's nominated, and then the election in November determines who gets the Electoral College votes of Wisconsin, not the gerrymandered legislature. The presidential election should not be a beauty contest. That is what the Republican Party is proposing. Let's continue to keep our right to vote for lieutenant governor, for secretary of state, for treasurer, and the head of the Department of Public Instruction, the superintendent. The Republicans propose to eliminate elections for all of those offices and make them appointments of the governor. That's what it is. Let us keep absentee voting. Let us keep absentee voting. Let us keep secure drop boxes in areas like police stations, municipal buildings, and so on, so people can drop off their ballots in a secure way and don't have to stand in line on election day in the rain. And if they're a single mom with two kids and have no child care, they can't vote. This is very rudimentary, very rudimentary. That is the issue. Ron Johnson on the Republican side in the Senate and Rebecca Clayfish, Kevin Nicholson, and Tim Ramthan on the Republican side of governor all would destroy our democracy. I'm not using that word lightly. I'm not saying it because to get a buzz. They would support no election for lieutenant governor, secretary of state, treasurer, and superintendent of public instruction. They would support the gerrymandered legislature, gerrymandered by a Wisconsin Republican Supreme Court, picking the electors. And the election would be a beauty contest, the presidential election. They would support no absentee ballots or so restricted that most people couldn't use it. No drop boxes. They would force people in bad weather to stand in lines. People who couldn't afford childcare or were physically handicapped in some way would not be able to vote, or certainly not vote as comfortably. Stop it. That is the issue. And in the case of Ron Johnson, he's come right out and supported these things. They support the big lie. The only interesting primary on that issue right now is in the Republican governor primary. Republican governor primary. But this new guy, Michaels, has a decision to make. I think he's moderate. He was a good friend of Mark Morata's, who was a great Democrat who tragically passed away about 8 years ago, prematurely of a heart condition. Secretary of the Department of Development under Jim Doyle. Many people expected him to run for governor himself. And he had a very, very sensible guy. Well, how about this? Is Tim Michaels a guy who would run in the vein of a Tommy Thompson or a Lee Dreyfus and do the right thing on democracy, might be conservative on other things? Or is he going to go with the big lie? Gerald Baker, the editor at the Wall Street Journal, just put out a pretty good piece saying that he's tired of Republicans supporting the big lie, supporting Trump. He said, we need responsible Republicans to get up and say the big lie is a lie. Joe Biden won this last election. We'll try to do better next time, but we're not going to spend all of our time supporting something that's a lie. That's Gerald Baker of the Wall Street Journal. Paul Ryan has done that very bravely, and he's put out his words are in various ads and so on. He'd say, Joe Biden won the election. There's no fraud. He won the election, period, end of story. And the individual fraud they're looking at, half the time it were Republicans who voted in two places, their summer home and their other home. Or it was a woman whose mother got an absentee ballot. She lived with her. Mother dies. The woman sends in the mother's absentee ballot after the mother died. This happened in a handful of cases. Biden won by 7 million votes. 7 million votes, over 30 electoral votes. So is Michaels, this is the really the only interesting issue on this in this primary, is he going to get up and differentiate himself? And I think that's his only way of winning. Differentiate himself from Clayfish, Nicholson, and Ramphin, and say, no, I don't support that. This, the whole Republican Party getting preempted by arguing over the last election that it was fraudulent, it was not. Biden won the election. We'll do better next time. And I'm going to move on. I'm going to save our democracy. We are not going to have electors picked in the legislature. We are not going to have our state officers appointed by the governor. Okay? It's as simple as that. Simple as that. What's so hard about that? If he says that, he'll win the primary. Going to a break. The lines are alive. Do not hang up. Stay on the line. I will get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right back to the lines. CJ of Stoughton, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, CJ of Stoughton?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Matt. I wish you would have more of a conversation with me than just let me make my statement and then you respond, because I usually could respond. But, you know, as I listened this morning, Senator Johnson is going to be reelected because he was right on all issues. Inflation, crime, as Sam talked about, Milwaukee, Chicago, even Madison. Look how crime destroyed our state street. And it took January 6th for the Democrats to finally care about crime and police. And it really makes me mad that finally, it's an issue, only because Democrats, this president, runs everything by polls, and he's getting it wrong. He's now down into the 30s as approval ratings. Ron Johnson was proven right on inflation. This Build Back Better plan will break the country. Larry Summers, Obama's Secretary of Treasury, even said, don't pass these $5 trillion bills. And you're still tooting their horn. I can't believe it. Isn't inflation, doesn't gas and groceries cost enough for you Democrats yet? Or you truly want socialism? You want the government to run everything, and they do such a great job, like Kamala on the border. Now we're going to 18,000 people a day that are coming across our border illegally. And that's the thing. Republicans care about laws. Democrats don't. And you see it when you see perpetrators out on jail, no bond. You see day and day and day again. These cities are run by Democrats, Matt, not Republicans, because we believe in perpetrators of crime should be punished. You don't. Democrats don't. And that's why in Chicago, you see the mayor getting called out, and she blames the press for even saying that she's a failure. I don't understand you, Matt. And then this president executive order. The only way he gets anything done is by executive order. Well, the Republicans and Ron Johnson were proven right on so many issues, and thank God for Elon Musk, because our First Amendment is finally going to be enforced on social media. We should have a right. And thank you for taking my call, Matt. I'd love to have a conversation with you. But Biden's war is because of his failures. Inflation is because of his failures.
Yeah,
and
let me just jump in. CJ, you hit a lot of issues, and I enjoy having you have your say. Obviously, I disagree. But I'll just say this before we go back to the lines, because the lines are filling up and I want to get to everybody. You know, when you say the Republicans are for law, the Republicans that broke into the Capitol trying to murder Mike Pence were not concerned about the law. They were concerned about breaking the law, breaking the law. Ukraine is not Biden's fault. The fact is that Trump allied himself to the, with the Ruskies a long time ago because he's on the take. He was getting paid by him. And your party had better not re-nominate him, because this guy is bad news. With regard to everything else, we're not going to have time right now to go over the economic causes of inflation. Trump added $7 trillion to the national debt, 25% of it, just in his 4 years. And he's the one that put in the initial several trillion dollars to alleviate COVID, and then Biden put in more, and they were correct in doing that. So I'll say a little more, but I got to get to the line, CJ. I appreciate you calling in. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Gene?
I'm trying to contain myself. We have got the worst, most fraudulent, lying, criminal Republicans I've seen in my 67 years on this earth. Give me a break. We're coming out now. We're seeing all the lies and all of the texts leading up to the insurrections to steal my goddamn vote, to knock out the president that was elected by people like me and a lot of Republicans that couldn't stand that fraudulent, lying son of a gun that was running our country down in the gutter. That guy that turned it, went after both countries, Canada, Mexico, on each side of us, causing all kinds of problems. Then, hugging up to authoritative leaders and kicking people that were our friends and allies in the face. What the heck's the matter with you, CJ? Don't you have any concept of what's going on, reality? This is unbelievable. And Ron Johnson, who wanted to cut Obamacare immediately, is now running commercials on how he saved people's lives. Give me a break. Get into reality. No more fantasy. Republicans and fascist type people have to be voted out of office. Thank you very much. I'm sorry about that. My blood pressure's going through the roof right now. You have a good day, and thank you.
It was very eloquent, Gene. I think we're going to use that in a commercial. That was excellent. Thank you very, very much. Right in the money. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, man, CJ really fired me up today. This guy is getting on my nerves. Let's talk about who Ron Johnson is. Ron Johnson is a Lutheran who gets himself on a Catholic church board up in the Green Bay, Appleton area. And Ron Johnson works with them to file bankruptcy and shield the church so that they don't have to pay restitution for all of the children that the priests have molested. That's who Ron Johnson is. Ron Johnson worked on a massive tax cut that put over $200,000 in his own pocket, gave chunks and chunks of money to the Uline family, to the widow down in Beloit, blew a hole in the deficit, $7 trillion, non-productive uses of funds. Didn't go back to, you know, education. You know, the companies complain we don't have enough skilled workers, but they don't want to pay for it. Everyone wants a free lunch. So, you know, and then the law and order thing, give me a frickin' break. Marjorie Taylor Greene was just in court perjuring herself, saying she doesn't recall that 2 weeks after January 6th, she was calling for martial law. When these guys can't win and all the votes come in and they lose, they were all working in a legal angle. The biggest problem with the Biden administration is they didn't charge these guys with treason, and they didn't take their lying broadcasting networks for these mental midgets off the air. They should have taken them off the air because they left them on to lie, the people like Tucker Carlson. And over time, these morons have convinced themselves that January 6th was not a big deal. No, they tried to overthrow the government, and we find out more about it every week. There's criminality all over this party, My question is, why aren't these people indicted? Merrick Garland should be indicting these people. They need to be in Guantanamo Bay, not out running for Congress. That's really all I have to say on the subject. CJ, please don't call back. You make everyone more ignorant every time we hear you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Robert. Yeah, you know, our station, or my show anyway, is probably different from a lot of shows that would be on conservative talk radio, because, you know, we welcome all points of view. I don't agree with all points of view, but I welcome all points of view, because I think that a really robust debate basically helps people form their opinions, and it basically helps people come to the right conclusion ultimately for them. So anybody's welcome to call in, and I enjoy talking to them, and I enjoy responding to them. And if there's something that's factually incorrect, then I can point that out, or historically incorrect. But other than that, I think this is great. You know, I'll tell you what, you don't get this show in Russia. You don't get this show in China. You don't get this show in the Middle East. If you don't parrot the company line, not only you're not going to get on the air, you're probably in the hoosegow. So that's what's great about America. The right-wing conservative talk shows don't subscribe to that. A lot of times you call into that, they want to know in advance what you want to talk about. They want to vet it. They want to vet it. Won't let you on the air. If they do, they let you on the air to yell at you and cut you off. So appreciate your marks, Robert, for calling in. We're going to go back to an issue, and I was glad to see this. In New York, Donald Trump has just been held in civil contempt for not complying with the New York Attorney General's subpoenas, and is being fined daily $10,000 a day. $10,000 a day. Now, you may say with a billionaire, what does that matter? Well, his wealth is diminishing, and he also, however, has raised many hundreds of millions of dollars on Stop the Steal, that kind of thing. And he's using that for things that I think are really personal expenditures. I wouldn't be surprised if he paid this $10,000 a day fine out of that fund. And if he does, that's got to be looked at, because people contributed to that fund because they got hoodwinked into wanting to stop the steal and not pay his legal fees. But in any event, here's what's going on out there. That's Letitia James, the attorney general. She's standing up to Trump. This is the one where Trump, in his Manhattan properties, and she's the New York attorney general, so that includes Manhattan, would give two different valuations on values of his property. He'd lowball it for tax purposes and highball it for banks so that they would give him more money. That's a felony. Bragg, the guy, the newly elected DA in Madison, took a dive, told his team who were about to criminally charge Trump to back off. Somebody got to him. They have got to investigate that DA. He's got to get out of office. Letitia James, the attorney general, is not a criminal, unlike the Manhattan one. It's civil for fraud, just like Trump University. Remember, he paid $90 million on that. And she said, give me your documents. He goes, I don't have any. I'm like, the judge says, you can't just say you don't have any. You got to be specific about what happened to him. You know, remember, he chewed on some of them. He put some down the toilet, and he stole some of them and took them to Florida. This guy running for president again? Are you kidding me? Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I was born in the soul of misery. Never had me a name. They just gave me the number when I was young. They just gave.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Some, I think, good tea leaves being read on Ukraine and on Russia in Europe. Sweden and Finland just announced yesterday that they're going to apply for NATO membership at the same time. They're united in doing it, and they'll do it probably this coming month in May. And it will be approved. Russia has threatened military action against them if they do. And I'm going to pose a very uncomfortable question. Why are Sweden and Finland better than Ukraine? Ukraine applied for NATO membership, and Russia invaded it and is killing people, killing a lot of people, civilians, torturing them. And NATO and the U.S. are going, okay, well, yeah, we're not going to bring them into NATO anytime soon, although the U.S. has given them a lot of arms, which is good. If Russia did that in Finland and Sweden, NATO would respond. Is that because Finland and Sweden are seen as a little more European, a little more Western? Let me tell you something. Ukraine is very Western and very European. Very European. Ukraine used to be part of Poland. Lithuania used to be part of Poland. In 1795, Russia, Prussia, and Austria invaded Poland and carved it up. And it got wiped off the map until 1917. And when I say Prussia, Germany was not unified back then. You had Prussia and Bavaria, basically Munich and Berlin. Prussia was part of that all through the 19th century. When the First World War came around, 1917 it ended, Poland momentarily got its independence again with a lot less territory. That lasted till the Nazis went in 1939, grabbed them again. The Nazis, Hitler, had a non-aggression pact with Stalin, the Ruskies, and they went in together. Russia was on the side of the Nazis. They only went on the side of the Allies when Hitler invaded them and broke his non-aggression pact. Suddenly they were victims. Like, oh, save us, we're good people. No, they're not, they're Nazis. Well, at the end of 1945, Russia then grabbed all of Poland. And they were under Russian rule till 1989. And you had Lech Walesa, the magnificent Union leader. He was an electrician in the shipyards. And you had Pope John Paul II. Now he's St. John Paul II, who he was a driving force standing up to the Ruskies, driving force. And with that kind of leadership and other kind of leadership, Poland got independent again. It's independent now. So now when the Ruskies under Putin, I don't think Putin knows any history. He doesn't know Ukraine used to be part of Poland. He doesn't know anything. He went to the KGB School of Interrogation Tactics in St. Petersburg. That's his education, how to make people scream. I mean, that's literally what he knows. That is literally what he knows. He's a malevolent force, a rat-faced ideologue, a disease-carrying rat in his animal rat hole. And that's not healthy for the West. Not only does he have nuclear weapons, but Russia in the 19th century made significant cultural contributions to the West. If you read their literature, if you read Dostoevsky and Pushkin, Tolstoy, read the rest of them, listen to their music, Tchaikovsky, his opera Eugene Onegin, it's a great opera. I mean, these people were serious players. In the 20th century, they murdered people like that. It was a century of horror. I read the novel 1984. Starting with the end of the First World War, they killed the Romanovs, and then they stuck in communism. And then after communism, 10 years of Boris Yeltsin, or Gorbachev-Yeltsin reforms anyway, not quite 10 years, and then they reverted to Stalinism, murder, hatred, and theft. So what do you do with a country like that? Well, Sweden and Finland are going to be in NATO. They never would have applied for NATO if Putin hadn't done this. What he has done is unify Europe and the West. That's really what he's done. And Blinken came out, Anthony Blinken, and he said, Russia is failing in its war plans. That is a significant statement. That's taking on Putin. When you're in Putin's position, you don't retire with a pension. You know what happens to you? you get dragged out in the street by the howling mob and disappear under their boots. And that's what has to happen. It has to be the people and the Ruskies. The Ruskies themselves have got to do this to Putin. Go to the lines. Millie of Madison, my friend. Millie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I listened to CJ on a previous phone call, and he reminds me of the Russian folks that have been interviewed about the war that's going on in Ukraine. And actually, Canadian TV just had the Russian ambassador on an interview, and the Russian ambassador actually, this was a few days ago, actually sat there saying that Ukraine provoked the attack against them, and that they were in Bucha, the Ukrainians were in Bucha, killing their civilians. And this fellow is the propaganda that he's pushing, because who knows why? It was so shocking that I thought, this is reminds me so much of, say, the press secretary for Trump, when they would just stand there and lie about what was going on. And the press was paralyzed. America was paralyzed. And when I listened to CJ, I feel kind of concerned about him, because for him to be so mesmerized and almost brainwashed with the propaganda that's being pushed, you have to say, what does the future hold for America when you know there's, what, 70 million people like CJ out there who they don't care about the facts. They just believe what they want to believe. And another thing that I wanted to bring up is I was listening to Rick Wilson, who was one of the founding members of the Lincoln Project. And he said what he believes is that if the Senate and the House is taken by the GOP, that they'll probably focus on impeaching Biden and eventually Kamala. And that would take the two Democratic federal leaders, right, the president and the vice president, out of the political scene. Basically, they would no longer, they'd get them out of the White House. And then that would leave a GOP member who is the speaker to basically take over the federal government. And
right. You're making an excellent points. And the one good thing about that, Millie, is that it would require conviction in the Senate, which is 2/3. So 17 Democrats would have to cross over. And even if they won a lot of seats in the Senate, it would still require at least 10 or so Democrats. And that probably wouldn't happen. But I think you're right. I mean, I think Kevin McCarthy has actually implied that they will vote to impeach him and drag him through what Trump got dragged through. The difference is Trump is a criminal, and Trump did criminal acts in Ukraine, and he did criminal acts with the Russians. So, we got to go, unfortunately. I really enjoyed your comments. I think they were very valuable and right on. Thanks for calling. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn, Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.